everyone. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast here today. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. I am joined with the president and CEO of Milestone Scientific. How are you doing today? I am so excited to chat with you.
Well, thank you for having me, Jared. I'm very excited to be part of this, and I'm looking forward to our discussions, and I'm feeling excellent today.
Is that because you had single tooth? And I'm just kidding. We'll talk about that. First, though, I would love for you to share a little bit about your background. I'm sure there's some people that know you well, but there's my favorite people to reach are the ones that maybe don't know you. So you meet someone, what do you tell them about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm born and raised in the Netherlands. My background is education as a pharmacist, and I have more than 30 plus years in the pharmaceutical industry, the medical healthcare industry, the medical device industry, and the dental industry. I left the Netherlands in 1992. And since that time, I've been in international markets, lived in different countries across Europe. And then in 2012, I moved to the United States. And the last part of my career, the last 15 years, is primarily in the dental healthcare industry for one company called Straumann, Institute Straumann, based in Switzerland. And I've been with this company for 4 years almost, and I was appointed CEO of Milestone Scientific about 3 years ago.
And what originally led you to Milestone Scientific? What was that, I guess, that point of interest that you're like, I want to take the reins here. I want to drive growth with this company.
Yeah. Now, apart from the opportunity, I think the mission and the vision that the company had was very appealing to me. And it was very simple. It's taking drug deliveries of the 1900s to the 21st century. And then in particular, I don't know when was the last time that you went to a dentist, but if you get an injection and it is painful and all the side effects, that we can reduce to zero, in other words, it's really increasing the quality of life of a patient and giving them a better experience when they go to a dentist. So that was really a motivation for me to join this company.
Yeah, I think everyone's, when you first start talking about maybe negative dental experiences, everyone remembers trying to drink water or something after and it just spilling out the side of their mouth, right? Or not being comfortable for a few hours after any type of procedure. So in comes Milestone Scientific. Talk me through, this is my favorite question to ask anyone. You meet someone that hasn't heard of Milestone Scientific on the street. What do you tell them?
Well, the first question I ask is, are you afraid of going to the dentist or do you like to go to the dentist? And from my own experience, or you ask friends, unfortunately, there are not that many people that really like to go to the dentist. And they are afraid. They are afraid of the pain. They are afraid of the needle. And even more so, if you look into research in the United States, there are about 40 million people that are what we call dental phobic. And that is based on anxiety, based on pain, and people fear to go to the dentist. So what we provide is not only a relief and ease the life of the patient, but we also help the dentist in reducing the anxiety for the patient. So in other words, less stress for the patient is less stress for the dentist. So what I'm always saying, and we are running a campaign these days as well, for the patient it is love your dentist, and for the dentist is love your patient. And that's what we are contributing to. What we are doing in particular with our technology is making sure that the injection for the local anesthetic is painless. And to your point, you don't have any facial numbness or lip numbness. So you don't have any swelling of the cheeks. Normally, if you go to the dentist, you cannot drink any hot coffee, tea, or liquids. But you do not have any of those side effects when you're using our technology.
It's, when I first heard about you, it just made total sense to kind of go to that single tooth anesthesia setup compared to what we're doing today. Let's talk about innovating in this space a little bit, right? Because what you're doing is not easy. It's you know, we just had recently on the show the team over at CareQuest Innovation, and you know, they're all about innovating and continuously tell me, you know, oral health is, it impacts overall health so much, right? What you're doing impacts overall health a lot. But this space is not easy to innovate in. So I guess talk me through what barriers still exist today that you see in this space. And I know you're constantly tackling these barriers, but I think it's important for anyone following the company to realize that whenever you're in a heavily regulated industry like you know, this healthcare dental space, there are blockers that you can't fully get past, and there's due process. So talk me through those blockers that you see today. And I know kind of those have probably changed over the life cycle of the company, but you know, when you look at what's ahead of you right now that you're working with or past, what does that look like today?
Oh, absolutely. So I think the beauty with our concept is when you talk normally about barriers within an industry, right? So it is regulatory, it is pricing, it is cost, all those factors, right? The beauty with our concept is that, okay, the regulatory aspect, we have done that. It's not that we are just starting with this technology. We have started with this about 20 years ago. We have made several improvements. The cost for the dentist or the dental office is, I would say, is not that tremendously high. You know, we sell an instrument for about $2,500. The disposables that are much better than the current syringe that are in the market is an increased cost of $2.50 to $3 per patient. So it is not that we are talking about a gigantic investment. Of course, people might be sensitive to it and they have to see the benefits, right? Now, I think the major hurdle, it's all a change of mindset, and it is a misperception. We are not at all saying that dentists do not know how to inject a local anesthetic in the patient. What we are providing is a tool that the patient perceives it in a different way, or perhaps a better way, i.e. not feeling the pain and not having any sensation or sensitivity thereafter. So I would say, the misperception being that we are coming in as a company and say to the dentist, you do a lousy job. No, not at all. We are just saying, you know, this is a tool where you can increase your patient satisfaction. And in return, you get a happy patient. And the happy patient is going to be sort of, you know, a marketing tool or a marketing effort for you, because he will share it with friends and family. In other words, what we have seen with clinicians embracing this technology, they've also been able to increase their patient acceptance, to get a higher influx of patients, and i.e. at the end of the day, increasing their revenues and increasing their bottom line by, you know, having a higher patient throughput and a higher patient treatment rate in these practices. So I think the change of mindset, we're talking about change. And independent of being a dentist, for each individual, change or changing your behavior or changing a procedure, that's for a lot of people is a challenge. You know, we should never forget that we are introducing a disruptive technology, right? And that's the disruption. The disruption is, I have to change what I'm normally am doing, but it is for the benefit of the patient.
It's just a human, it's very common for humans to maybe resist change, but once they do, they're like, why didn't I change so much sooner, right? And when you look at, I think what's so unique about the dental space versus like primary care, for instance, or like the annual physical that you go to, or we hope people go to, you're more likely going to your dentist a lot more, right? Like it's at least 1 to 2 times guaranteed per year for your for your cleanings.
Yeah.
Plus, if there's any issues, you have to go back. So it's actually more likely, there's more likely for negative reviews or opportunities to have those positive reviews. And, you know, so much of this space is, you were saying it, is word of mouth. If yeah. someone has a good dental experience, they tell their kids' friends at a soccer game, right, about it, and that's how you end up making the switch. If someone has a bad experience, that good, it is very difficult for them to generate that traffic that they need at their dental practice. So super interesting. What has been, I guess, your favorite part about building this company?
That's the challenge. I think, you know, the company, it's like I said, it's not something that was created a year ago. The company has existed for many, many years. The challenging part was taking this company from what I would call a typical research and development company, so perhaps very much internally focused, transition that into a more commercial operation. So in other words, the customer focus, the customer satisfaction, the marketing efforts, reaching out to the patients and to communities. You know, it's really changing the company in a better way to be able to serve the number of patients and the number of dentists out there. I think that's the most interesting part, I would say, for myself to turn around, excuse me, and spin around an organization. That's definitely what motivates me. And of course, the reward that you're getting, you know, from patient testimonials when they undergo procedures with our technology and they don't feel anything, or they say to the dentist, tell me when you start injecting the local anesthetic. And the reply of the dentist would be, tell you, I already did it. In other words, the patient didn't feel it. I think that is a very rewarding comment that we get in, you know, all the time, I would say.
When you look at kind of the emerging trends or technology in the dental care space, this can also, you know, along with what you're doing and even outside of Milestone Scientific, what are you most excited about? And I guess, how is Milestone Scientific positioning itself and maybe with some of these emerging trends or things that you're looking for?
Yeah, no, it's very simple for me, right? Perhaps not my generation, but my kids and your generation and other generations, they are, you know, they develop themselves and they are growing up with the iPhone, the mobile telecommunication and technology. If you look in dentistry, it's one of those professions, and also in some medical healthcare applications, we are still talking about a technology which is currently, so to say, the standard of care, with a hypodermic needle out of 1860, a manual syringe. In the medical field, it's a medical syringe, an epidural needle out of 1860. So if you're living in that era where technology is key, it's one of those areas where we are still using technologies, you know, in the 1800s, in the 1900s, right? So our philosophy is really, and that's the reason why we talk about computer-controlled injection technology, is really based on wherever the hypodermic syringe is used, our technology could apply. That is also the reason why we went in applying this technology in epidural analgesia during labor and delivery, the injection of epidural steroid injections in the lumbar, the thoracic, and the cervical spine. We have a patent in peripheral nerve block. We had an application for cosmetic medicine for the injection of botulinum toxin for facial cosmetic medicine, intra-articular. So as we speak, there is a whole array of potential areas where this technology could be applied. Now, the challenge, of course, is for a smaller company like ours is we cannot do everything at the same time, and we have to take a stepwise approach in the further development and growth of the company.
And I guess, you know, we're through Q1 of 2024. What's And I know as a public company, you have to be careful with obviously what you say, but what can you tell us here today in terms of maybe what's next for the company? I'm always very sensitive to that whenever I have publicly traded companies on the podcast. But what can you tell us today in terms of what's next that maybe, you know, obviously already available information, but maybe just rehashing that for someone that missed it?
No, absolutely. We have, I think it was last week on April 1st, we had our earnings call, which was highlighting the financial results of prior year, right? So we grew our revenues by 11.6, almost 12%. We increased our dental profitability up to 2.1 million. We increased our gross margins because we are reaching out to our clinics directly in the United States. We had reduced our net loss of operating income. So that are stepwise improvements to build the company further, because the money that we are earning in the dental business, we are also reinvesting in the medical business. The difference between the dental and the medical business, the dental for the time being is our bread and butter. The medical business, we are in the early commercialization stages where we have been receiving a tracking code because it's important for reimbursement. We are working hard on that. So that's the future of the company, right? What is very important is that, you know, we are financial healthy. We do not have any long-term debts. We have sufficient cash and cash equivalents at hand. So we are in a different spot than other companies that are in the microcap market space that, you know, have been hurt hard in the last 2 years, I would say, due to the market dynamics and the pressure on the microcap and the small cap markets. So for us, the strategy moving forward is further increase the dental business. I think it's going to be very exciting this year because we have increased our marketing, our digital marketing activity by also reaching out to patients directly to create that push-pull, and further work on the commercialization of the medical business. We have invested in the development of the next generation of dental equipment because, you know, if we want to increase the image of the company, what was, so to say, spot on 10, 14 years ago from a technology point of view and a look and feel point of view, is not necessarily spot on right now. So we make, as we speak, continuous developments to become top of mind and to stay top of mind, because both in dental and also more importantly in medical, we strongly believe that the ultimate goal for the company is to become the standard of care, you know, for example, in epidural analgesia.
When you kind of think through in terms of the future of the company, obviously it's a never-ending job, right? Like your job is very difficult. There is a lot of moving parts that you have to deal with every single day, and you're handling it incredibly. What, I guess, when you look towards the future of the company, so it's not just being so dental focused, it's also having the medical part of the business continuing to flourish, right? That's kind of the next phase of the company. That's what you see, is when both of those parts kind of come together. Now you're really taking things to the next level. I guess what's the most exciting part of that transition for you? Not transition, evolution.
Now the exciting part is, again, is the opportunity, because, you know, over all the years when this technology was available in dental, you know, the market penetration is low. So there's a shift in generation. The next generation, the current generation of dentists, is much more open for new technologies than the prior generation. The opportunity is gigantic. If you just look at the number of dentists in the United States, plus specialists, plus hygienists, you talk about a population of 450 to 500,000 dental professionals, right? So making and driving that awareness is key. In the medical, the opportunity there is as well. The market is large, the market is huge. 11 million procedures in epidural analgesia in the United States alone. And we have not even started to that extent that we you know, have increased penetration and increased the adoption of this technology. So, and with all the activities that we have undertaken in the last 2.5 years, we have all the tools in our toolbox, and now it's a matter of getting them out and finding the right business partners, finding the right collaboration partners to further push that growth and to further move the needle. So I think the future is very bright for this company, but at the end of the day, as you said, you know, it needs to be done, and that's my role in pushing that further. I think from a company development and the people that we are having here, that's a cultural change, right? It really is customer is focused. Every telephone that is coming in, or even if there would be a customer or somebody that would complain, it's an opportunity. And we have to be in the forefront. I always say, you know, the definition of customer satisfaction is delivering beyond the customer expectation. And that is what I'm trying to achieve and establish every day, independent of whether it is logistics, finance, regulatory, QA, or any other function within the company.
What would you say your leadership style is? What type of leadership approach do you take? And you know, when you're building out your team, I always like to, if someone's listening that wants to eventually work at the company, you know, what are you looking for in those new additions? I guess so. Leadership style, and then what are you looking for in anyone that has interest in joining the Milestone Scientific team?
No, absolutely. So. I have an open door policy. Everybody would say that, right? It's nothing new. I think it is more important what you show every day to the commitment. You have to lead by example to the organization. What I can say is that my expectation and my leadership style is combined. It's two things combined. Definitely, you know, mistakes are allowed to be made. But what I'm looking for is you know, taking control, taking opportunities, grab opportunities, lead them, implement them, management, and execute them, right? So it is accountability. It is responsibility. I always say to everybody working in this organization, independent age or the experience that they're having, I'm still here to learn. I can learn from somebody that is, you know, just coming out of university and starts working from us, or that has been longer with the company or has a different background. And that's vice versa. I hope that I can teach, and I hope that I can learn something from the individuals and the persons that are working in our organization. You know, it is all about learning and sharing knowledge, open communication, direct, being respectful, you know, acknowledge if you don't know something, show vulnerability. I think all those aspects are of key importance. And you mentioned that already in the way that you asked me the question. The team is key. In my organization, there's no room for an individual that would like to stand above the team. And that is just based on my background in sports and what I've been doing in prior companies as well. It's always the team. The team is key. You know, there's, I think there's a statement that if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go further, you go together. I think that is typical for me, what I strongly believe in.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the podcast here today, and look forward to hopefully having you come back on in the future, and we can maybe get a panel together and dive even deeper, but really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Jared. Have a good day.